Continuing our live action chat, we're talking Yu Yu Hakusho on Yujocast. Speaking of a series, there's another one that came out. Yu Yu Hakusho. I didn't even know it was going to come out because I wasn't really too into, like, watching anime when it got announced in 2020.
Right.
So
Shadow dropped it on you.
Yeah. So it took them 3 years.
Okay.
It took them 3 years. So it was announced in 2020. They did the casting and all that fun stuff. The manga was made by Yoshihiro Togashi. Mm-hmm. And he, they have an anime, obviously, Yu Yu Hakusho. It ran from 1990 to 1994.
Yeah. Such a classic. Every main character is made after it.
Yes. So, they, you can tell by the anime style, it is a 90s anime.
It is.
You can absolutely tell.
It is.
So, with the live action, I was curious, because obviously it is a Japanese show that is dubbed in English. So since watching anime, I have learned to tolerate it. That's why I didn't watch Squid Game, because I couldn't stand it. I'm like, dude, this shit is terrible. I cannot watch it and try to read it at the same time. It was horrible. But since watching anime, I've kind of been growing a tolerance to it.
There you go.
So I ended up watching it. And without watching the anime at all, I can tell you that there's a couple things that I really, really liked and some things that I absolutely hated.
Okay.
Absolutely hated. But before I get to that, it was produced by Robot Communications. So Robot Communications also produced, what is it? I have it written down here someplace. Alice in Borderland.
Oh!
So same producing company.
Okay.
I've never seen that. I watched the preview for it, and it looked really, you know, post-apocalyptic.
It is good.
You know, you're surviving in the city and all of this crazy stuff. I watched somebody, a few friends of mine, play Borderlands, like the video game.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is this like a mix between Alice in Wonderland and Borderlands? Because that would be cool to watch. It wasn't.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, that's kind of cool.
There needs to be a Borderlands show, though.
Right?
That would be crazy.
Yeah. It premiered December 14th, 2023. It was announced in December of 2020. So, they took their time. The creator of Yu Yu Hakusho also took part in the casting process and helping them get the characters right, because I don't know if it's like they're nervous that things are going to get messed up because of, you know, bad track records with other anime series.
They've been on the back foot for so long.
Yeah, but when they cast the characters, and this is what one of the producers has said, last name Mori, let's see, Akira, they said that they weren't trying to get the characters right in a sense of like the physical sense. They didn't necessarily want them to look like the characters. They wanted them to embody the characters and the way that they were portrayed in the anime and the manga.
Okay.
So they were looking for more of like an attitude versus you look familiar to the character that everybody knows. Right. However, they did get it pretty right. I mean, some of the characters, obviously their hair is a different color, or, you know, they're a little bit more eccentric. But think of it, 90s anime style. How crazy and eccentric do you think they're going to get? It's not like Demon Slayer now. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
You get insane. This stuff is more, you know,
toned down.
Yes. Yes.
The craziest thing to do back then was have pink or purple hair.
Right. Right. And one of the characters, and I don't remember her name, the spirit guide.
Okay.
She has blue hair and she's very, you know, free spirited. However, she's one of the characters I did not like at all.
Oh.
And I think it's because she was so abruptly put in the anime or in the live action.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, poof, she's here now. And it wasn't like a whole, it should have been more cinematic, I feel like, because right. She's a spirit, you know, like she's a guide that's supposed to guide him and show him.
Right.
And then the spirit realm or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That to me was rushed. It was like somebody standing behind a desk looking at a TV. That's what it looks like to me. And I know it's not that way
right.
because they have, you know, a long hallway and stairs and stuff. But once they like zoom in and do the shot like that, that's exactly what it looks like to me. And I'm like, they really could have done a little bit more to make it feel like he's in another world.
Right.
But I still think it was executed well because obviously he's dead. You know, and he's in limbo, and right. they're trying to get him to be the detective, you know?
Yeah.
Spirit detective. So, for those of you who don't know Yu Yu Hakusho, it is a teenage boy called, his name is Yusuke.
Yeah.
And he is a rebel, and he is, you know, I don't want to go to school. I want to smoke cigarettes and skip class and beat up my rival and, you know, all the things.
Equal rights, equal Fs. That's his whole character trait. Equal rights, equal Fs.
Right. Fist rated E for everyone. Yeah. So
she can get them too.
Right. when they introduce characters, and I don't know if this is any fault of their own because it was a 5-episode series.
Right.
It also felt rushed because they didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's due to budgetary constraints. They just had so much to work with. Or if they really wanted to drive home the action scenes later on. So
could have been COVID, probably.
I mean, any number of things, yeah. You know, it was that time, yeah. Right? However, it's interesting because I like the actors and the way that they portrayed the characters, even though I haven't seen the anime or even read the manga, because the action scenes are everything, right? That's where the CGI really shines. And interesting enough, the villains in this one are also really greatly portrayed.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So the creatures that they become when, I don't know if you remember, when the kid got bullied for his lunch money or whatever, mm-hmm. and he got beat up, and the demon got in his system and started, you know, ravaging him and making him do all these weird things.
Yeah.
The actor that portrayed that character did a really, really great job of just flailing around enough where you're like, okay, something's possessing him to do this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like, you know, 90s action scenes where everyone's freaking out and flailing their arms and stuff and really being overdramatic.
Okay.
And the CGI went with it very well. I mean, he started turning into this thing. And it was really, really just captivating.
Okay.
I'm
taking the back burner on this because I've pretty much only seen the anime. But I have the unpopular opinion of I don't like Yu Yu Hakusho.
And what don't you like about it?
It's just corny.
Corny. Okay.
And I know that's because of the time that it came out. And Yusuke is basically the character template for every main character that we have now.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I have to like him.
No. And it has to deal with execution.
Yeah.
I think a lot of things. if, you know, we can't say if it was made today, it would be like this, because we don't have that luxury.
We don't.
We're not going to.
We all can't be Hunter Hunter.
How? Oh my God, I love it. So good. It's my favorite. Oh, gone. However, they've done a new animation adaptation of Trigun, and that was in the 90s too. So it could be worse.
It could be.
Or it could be better. You never know. You never know.
I just personally, I can get behind a lot of the campy anime tropes that happen. The big, dumb, strong guy. I can get behind it. I can get behind main character who just wants to fight and be stronger than his rivals. I can get behind all of it. I just feel like because it was the first to really step into that shonen bag like that.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, they were just trying things.
Yeah. They walked so Naruto can run.
They walked so everything could run.
Right. Right. Hey, you got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. And, you know, we could all say, you know, it's just a sign of the times.
Right.
But that don't mean I just personally don't got a lot. I believe, like, right after the Dark tournament, it just kind of just drones on for me.
Okay. And from somebody who hasn't seen it, literally, there's not a real backstory. There's no time for backstory stuff. It's more so like, this is a kid who is trying to be just a rebel.
Right.
And trying to be some sort of way. And he has a friend who's trying to keep him on the straight and narrow. Ever since they were kids, they hung out with each other.
Right.
And the other characters that get introduced along the way, obviously, Kuwabara, which is his rival.
Of course.
I loved him. I loved him. Because he's so eccentric, right?
Yeah.
First of all, I love his damn hair. The characters in the live action, they are very well put together. I mean, outfit-wise, you can tell. It's like a full, like, 60s, 70s moment. Big pompadour hair and buttons up to your chest.
Oh,
and,
of course.
You know, the whole nine, the big giant pants and everything. The outfits they got, I mean, they're exquisite.
Yeah.
I would wear some crazy shit
like
that.
They do dress pretty good.
They are fly, let me tell you. Yeah. And in the live action, they stand out, you know, like this. This guy's outfit is blue. I mean, this sake bottle blue. It is so blue.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, they end up becoming friends, and just their development as two people who are training to beat these creatures, and it's kind of, you know, they're rivals, but they learn to work together, and it's pretty well done for the short amount of time.
Right.
Now, Kurama, I had to put pronunciations on my sheet because I really didn't want to mess it up. And Hiei. Yes.
There you go.
I really would have messed it up if I didn't put that. Hiei.
That I-E-I gets you every time.
E-I-E-I-O, man. So, they are interesting.
Yeah.
When they get introduced in the live action, it's very instantaneous almost. Like, I need these magical items. I need these demon items or whatever because
right.
I want to use them for my own benefit. So I'm going to take them and use them to do X, Y, and Z, which you find out Kurama just wants his mother to get better. She's very ill. So there was no ill will. And Hiei, I don't remember what he wanted. I think it was super speed or something because he gets really, really fast. And I think it's like he wants to become stronger because he's trying to catch up with somebody and do something.
I can't think of his name right now, but yes.
Yes, it's kind of like a I'm seeking revenge type of thing, right? However, both their outfits slay, I will say.
PA does have a pretty cool outfit.
Right, with the bandana and the big giant hair and everything. And in the live action, they do a great job.
Okay.
Of making him look that way. Same with Kurama. Kurama is... And it's weird because I hear Kurama and I instantly think the Nine-Tailed Fox.
Big Doggo.
Yeah. So, it's really... They did a great job for the limited amount of episodes that they had.
Yeah, 5 episodes is pretty wild to get through.
Yeah, hour-long episodes, too. So, I mean, you're getting 5 hours worth, which is kind of like a short film. Or one and two, right?
It's like, yeah.
So.
It's like 1.5 Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, my God. There you go. There you go. So I also, before you got here, I watched a YouTube video for Netflix Asia, and they did Making Yu Yu Hakusho. And they interviewed these 4 characters, okay, or the guys who portrayed these 4 characters. So Yusuke, he said he was a really, really big fan of the anime.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to make sure that the character was portrayed in a way that was reminiscent of the anime, but with a modern twist. Because obviously, 1990 was 34 years ago.
It was a long time. A lot of them jokes don't go over well nowadays.
Right. So you have to modernize it in a way where it's good for the viewer to kind of understand where this person is coming from.
Right.
In modern times. Kuwabara, he was very thin, so they asked him to gain like 13 to 16 kilos in weight.
Okay.
So he had a personal trainer, and he went to the gym and gained all this muscle that you see in the live action.
You gotta be a big chonky boy to play that part.
So he's built, though. He's not large size-wise, he's tall. So it's really interesting that their journeys as actors were very different for each part.
Right.
Kurama, this I thought was extremely interesting because when you watch the live action, you do not realize this, but he is really spinning in the air like that. So when he's doing all these turns and twists and using the vine whip and all of this stuff, the vine on the whip is CGI. Okay. I mean, obviously.
Right.
But him turning in the air, he's using this thing called a twisting ring. So what it is...
That sounds like something different.
Right. So what it is it's hanging from the ceiling or rafters or whatever you got. And it's a ring that you're basically putting your body in a gyroscope. Right. So you have this apparatus that's only on your waist. So everything else is being viewed. And it is squeezing you in a way that is so uncomfortable. You start to, like, lose circulation and stuff in your legs. So he said it was very, very uncomfortable. I had a hard time concentrating because you have to work through the pain. And he was actually at one point hospitalized because I don't know if it was because of an illness. I don't know if it was because of this contraption.
Right.
However,
it was tough.
It was insanely tough. Not only to figure out how to use this without getting nauseous.
Bro is on 3D maneuvering.
Right. But they're trying to get him to perfect these moves with a fake whip, you know, because he's trying to get his arm out there and get the action right, and his face has to be stone cold while he's spinning around in midair doing, like, barrel rolls, basically. So they asked him, or he asked, he's like, you know, would you like to recast? Because he was currently hospitalized for either an illness or something.
Right.
And they said, no, we want you. So
we like yo pain.
Right. For 4 years, or 4 months, I'm sorry. He trained twice weekly on this. However, it took him a year, up to a year and a half, to get into character because of this. So, I guess Kurama is very sleek, and he's very, you know, beautifully done, and they wanted to encapsulate that. However, yeah. his face was like, ow, because I'm twisting and turning all over yeah. the place. But they were working around his hospitalization and his schedule and trying to figure out the action scenes, when we can do those, and then when we can move on and do other things that aren't affecting him in a physical and mental way, which was, you know, I mean, I feel like he had the hardest time yeah. because of that, just the physical, the physicality of it.
Yeah, most definitely. That's terrible sounding.
Right.
But, you know, it's not against some crazy things that people have to do for their jobs.
Yeah.
Especially for these adaptations and stuff, so.
I know, it's so crazy, too. So, Hiei, this character was trying to get as much close combat training as possible. Because when you're an actor and you're trying to get that close up without actually physically hurting right. somebody, usually they would use like a stunt double, or they would use, they call them fight doubles, or, yeah. you know, whatever.
Stunt coordinators.
Stunt coordinator. But they decided, we're not going to do that. Hiei and Yusuke have a fight. They meet each other and they have a fight. They have like a battle. Well, they ended up practicing with each other and getting as close as possible without hitting each other. Ooh. So they can make it look as real as possible. That's why the punches look real. That's why the kicks look real. That's why every action scene, it is CGI, because obviously there's a bunch of shit in the background that's, right. you know, explosions and blah, and there's aliens and all sort of crazy shit. However, when you see the sword go underneath him and everything, that is real. They are that close to each other.
Ugh.
Yeah. So imagine having training to almost hit your coworker. It's nerve-wracking because yeah. you don't want to injure them. And that's what he was saying. I don't want to injure my castmate. I want to make sure that it's as real as possible without getting to that. So there was some senses of like nervousness. Not to mention, there's a soft side to Hiei, because he finds out he has a sister.
Yeah.
He didn't know that. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're my sister, that's so weird. So I have this sense of, now I need to protect somebody. So with that, the live action to me and all of the Yu Yu Hakusho fans, they're upset. Why was it only 5 episodes? You could have done more. However, you don't know. I mean, it could have been, like I said, budgetary constraints or whatever. But I thought it was pretty well done. And it doesn't take that long to go through, and, you know, you could get through it. I think that it's more palatable than the 90s version anime.
I'm going to try it out.
You should give it a try.
With that, what do you want to see adapted next?
Ooh, you know what? This is an unrelated topic, but there's actually a Hunter x Hunter play in Japan. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's a Dragon Ball play going on right now.
Okay.
And they are really doing it up in the theater world right now with anime. You can Google the cast and see their outfits and see them, because they have them, you know, full front.
Yeah.
Their whole everything. Hisoka looks amazing. I mean, it's really, really actually pretty cool. I wouldn't never think a play, right?
A play.
But live action. Oh, man.
To see Hisoka like that is like,
right. <That's a> oh, yeah.
Can he capture that creepiness of Hisoka?
Yeah. I don't know if modern times would let some of that shit happen either, but
That was a wild man.
You know, honestly, live action character development and wanting to really portray the characters well, I think Overlord would be a good one.
That could be pretty good too.
Because it's not a shonen.
Right.
You know, you've seen one, you've seen them all. You know, okay, this person is down on his luck. Nothing is going right for him. He needs to train to become stronger. He needs to train to become better than his rival. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same fucking story over and over again. However, with something like an isekai where you are submerged in a storyline and you have to make the best of it because you're stuck here.
Right.
That would be interesting. I don't know how many MMORPG friends I have that would really, really enjoy something like that. Because you live in the character's life.
Right.
Sebastian, he was an EverQuest player for a long time. Long time.
The age is showing.
Yeah.
Oh, my
any,
God.
Any EverQuesters out there? I know I had a few in the DDR community that also played EverQuest for a long time.
God.
And you're logging in and playing that character over and over again. The thing about Overlord is the server's going down.
Yeah.
And your friends are slowly leaving the server. And there's one person and he stays there until the end and he thinks he's just going to log out. But guess what? He's still there. And now he has to navigate this world and he doesn't know how because everybody's an NPC.
Right.
But it turns out, now they can talk to me and we're interacting with each other and I made something happen that is carving the way for myself in this world. So I think that would be a good one to
see.
That
would be a pretty good one.
What do you think?
I think a really good, and if they gave it, because Netflix tends to do things in 6 to 8 episode time frames.
Yes.
Give it 12 episodes, and I really feel like a good live action of Hajime no Ippo. It's a boxing anime.
Yeah.
Classic boxing anime. Give me that.
Okay.
I want to see that. I really think that is one of our anime that really needs a spotlight on it.
Okay.
Because
it's an older anime.
It is old.
Yeah. It's there you go, going back.
But it's one of those that can still hold up today and still bring in more fans because it was very much before its time.
Okay.
And I'm seeing right now, it's actually kind of getting a resurgence on YouTube.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of people talking about, like, a lot of the old fights on there right now. Hmm. Maybe it's because, you know, boxing's a dead sport.
Yeah, it's very in disrepute, for sure.
And so I'm seeing a lot of people, like, talking about it more. And so now I would like to see something like that get made. They would... Like I say, they would need to give it about 12 episodes.
Right.
Get my boy Takamura, do him right. Do Makanoichi right. And I'm happy at that point.
Okay. Yeah, I remember talking about that when we were talking about music.
Yeah.
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 That's right. And I was like, man, this shit is old. But I will say one thing. Live action wise, not anime, but Netflix is trying to do an Avatar The Last Airbender.
I've been following that for a long time.
I am curious because everybody knows the movie flopped big time. M-Night, he messed it up.
Oh, flopped extravagantly.
Yeah, which sucks because like, the actors really wanted to do well. You could tell they wanted to do well. I think they got bad direction.
Yeah.
And it ended up more kiddish than maybe people were thinking it was going to be. And it kind of got mixed up and lost in translation. And obviously, Aang's name is not Aang. And, I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
On and on. However, from the previews of what we could potentially see, I feel like they're really trying to do it right.
Yeah.
Since the movie was so bad.
I do know, because I've been keeping up with that for a long time, and yeah. So I do know that the actual creators, you know, it's the same thing with the One Piece situation.
Thank God.
They're the ones with their hands in the pot. They're the one that's taking care of everything. Because
cool.
When they did let somebody else do it.
No more. No creative freedom anymore.
No.
You don't.
We're the only people who know how to make Avatar stuff.
That's right.
So we'll do it.
Yeah.
But I am very excited for that to come out as well.
Fingers crossed. That
Fingers
it's...
crossed that it's amazing. Please. But I've seen the cast. I've seen some of the on-set attire that they wear.
Yeah.
So I've seen at least how far they're going to go, because I've seen like Suki,
Avatar okay.
Kyoshi.
Okay.
So they're at least having that in there.
All right. See, you know, you're following it, and I'm excited to see what becomes Avatar The Last Airbender, because yeah. I really want them to just get it right.
Please.
That's please. All I'm asking. And you know, I know that this episode's over, and it's sad.
It is.
It's sad, but I work an adult job, and unfortunately, that means I have to go to bed early. However, it was a blast having you here. We did a sake taste testing a couple times.
A few times. Had a good time.
And we definitely want to bring you more of, you know, anime, manga. Whatever.
Everything.
A little bit everything. Of everything.
We just trying to put on for the culture.
And like always, thank you for coming by. Thank you for talking to me. You kind of know what you're talking about, so I guess
a little bit.
You can come by next time.
All right.
And thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. We will definitely post links and pictures on Instagram of where you can find the live action One Piece and the live action Yu Yu Hakusho if you are so inclined to watch it. And if you have watched it, comment on those pictures below. Tell me what you thought. Tell me what was good. Tell me what was bad.
Yeah, tell me what y'all don't like about the One Piece, because I thought it was wonderful.
Because you're wrong. No. And of course, like always, I will see you on the next one.
I might see y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.